A week after the fire, a letter arrived in the mail at the Lowering Days. It was written on a brown paper bag instead of dioxin-bleached white paper.
Dear readers, this paper is run by a white lady, but she's a white lady who cares. Her heart is in the right place. She gives us the space to be seen and heard. Will he, Winnie? This paper has also shown it cares about truth for everyone, whether human, white, Penobscot, mountain, tree, river, or air. So this paper gets the truth. Gnudemin, Wazelmo Nazibum, Wazelmoltuag, Ach Nadonabamuk, Bonowapskewia, Giz, Abajile, Agalabamu, Wegaluke, Winila, Benowapskewia. Ada, Abajilakwe, Nij, Nawinchin, Thol, Deenana, Ada, Abajilakwe, Nij, Nalidaha, Sol, Deenana, Nij, Nichkin, Ki, Nij, Wanichke, Sol, Deena, Awenuchuk, Nagabanawapskewiuk.
The fire I started was meant for the mill only, not to hurt anyone else. I acted alone. To the mill? This is for the river who you harmed. My people who you poisoned, and all the men and women who had to make themselves into machines to keep you alive. I think it's good you're gone. Some things have to stay dead so others can come back to life. To my people, Nudeldamin, Achi, Palita Hudaman, the river is us. We are the river. I couldn't listen to your crying anymore.
My mother hid the letter in her coat, closed the office, and came home that afternoon. With shaking hands, she set the letter on our kitchen table, where it sat like a bomb. None of us dared touch it. I suppose she showed us the letter because she had to show it to someone. I was amazed it had come to the Lowering Days, not the big daily paper in Bangor. But it made sense as well. Over the years, my mother had become something of an ally to the Penobscot Nation, the river, and the land. Furthermore, she was tenacious, arguably reckless even, with the truth, believing that it deserved to be heard at all costs. She'd often run articles and editorials by tribal leaders and sought to give white issues and indigenous issues equal space. So it had been arson in the name of a river under centuries of assault. The weight of that truth began to settle over our household as we all stood in the dimming April light, eyeing the letter and listening for cars we knew were not out there and footsteps we irrationally feared might be coming. That night, my father locked our door for the first time I could remember. And what of the arsonist? If she was indeed a teenager, she was a precocious one and chillingly direct. Yet she seemed unsure as well. I think it's good you're gone. I wanted to know how she had done it. Had the decision been quick and rash? Or had she agonized over the choice? What I was sure of was that the mill was not an innocent victim. The Penobscot Nation had long claimed that the Narrows Mill knowingly discharged toxic chemicals and wastewater products from the pulp and papermaking process into the river, poisoning its fish and plants. They had data to back their claims. My mother wrote about it all, of course, from all angles, and the environmental debate had filled my childhood. Now, on the eve of its potential reopening, the mill had been burned flat. The girl had directly addressed the paper mill, animating it in the process. From then on, it would forever be a living, breathing entity in everyone's eyes. Of course, it had always been alive, filled with the lives of those who lived and worked within it, a moving, evolving system not unlike a body. An ecosystem, Wren had pointed out to me when we looked at Reggie's photos a week earlier.